to wait a little bit longer. Praise God. God is good. Happy about the spirit that I feel in here today. While you're turning, let me just kind of tell you about what my goal of this message, the goal of this message really is, the objective. And the objective is for somebody to get saved. Somebody to come into true relationship and to true intimacy with God. I'm not going to pull any punches, nor am I trying to trick you or anything. I want to tell you what I'm all about. And I'm all about seeing people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. If a church isn't doing that, what good is it? That oftentimes the church, the body of Christ, focuses so much on exterior things or things that are marginal, that really aren't that important as much as salvation. God is looking after one soul, one individual to which he can have relationship with today. So by the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to try and get someone to that point, get you ready to receive of his spirit today. If you got the scripture, say amen. Amen. Luke 11 verse 14 says, and he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. And the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing the thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because he say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. I want to read that verse again. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Turn back to verse 16 one more time in connection with verse 20. Verse 16 says, and others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. Today I want to preach to you a message simply entitled Sign Language. Sign language. Praise God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer and invite his spirit. Amen. To have preeminence in this house. Heavenly Father, oh God, Holy Spirit, we release you in this place today. Have free course in this place today. Let there be no limitations. Let there be no obstructions. Let there be nothing that would stay or hinder your hand in this place. Move amongst us in our midst. God, I know that you're already moving. Let our hearts, I pray, be ready to receive of your word. Let there be signs and wonders and miracles wrought by your hands, by the name of Jesus Christ. May people be baptized with the Holy Spirit. May they come into full relationship and intimacy with you. May it be done, oh God, by your spirit and by your spirit alone. I pray, anoint my mouth, oh God. Inspire my heart to speak the right things, to penetrate through the barriers that Satan has set up to prevent them from coming into the knowledge of you. I rebuke and curse every blinder, everything that would prevent them from seeing and experiencing the weight of your glory and seeing the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. I rebuke it now. I curse it now. I sever its influence now in the name of Jesus. Let there be no confusion regarding what is being stated here today, but let them see the goodness of the Lord. May it be unto us according to your holy written word. May it be unto us according to your spirit. And we give you all the thanks and all the praise and the glory. And in Jesus' name, someone say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I'll talk to you about sign language. Sign language. If you look in the encyclopedia, a sign language is also sign language, or simply signing, is a language which uses manual communication and body language to convey meaning, as opposed to acoustically conveyed sound patterns. This can involve simultaneously combining hand shapes, orientation, and movement of the hands, arms, or body, and facial expressions to fluidly express a speaker's thoughts. That sign language is a form of communication through means other than verbalization or vocalization, and it is often used for those who are deaf as an alternative form of communication. Now you're wondering, what does this have to do with me? Because I'm not talking necessarily about the physical deaf, but I'm talking about those that are spiritually deaf. Matthew 13, verse 14. Jesus says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, or Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. that because spiritually people are deaf and do not understand or refuse to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's no longer good enough just to preach a good sermon or logically explain the universe as it is. But people want to see evidence that gives credibility or validity to the message that we preach and that we speak. God had to invent a new language, a new means to communicate, that even though that we verbally may vocalize and articulate and explain as to what the gospel is, people still are deaf and do not fully hear nor comprehend or understand what the love of Jesus Christ truly is. So God had to invent another way of communicating with them, and he called it sign language. The Bible says in John 4:48, "Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." That people are tired of just hearing a sermon. People are tired of just another explanation. They want something that will radically transform and renew their lives and change their situations and their problems. One of the problems that we have in these last days is that there are factions and organizations and denominations which deny the power of the Holy Spirit. That those who do signs and wonders and miracles and cast out devils and speak in tongues are simply of Satan. Just as Jesus Christ was accused of being of Satan because he cast out devils, people are even now accusing us of being of Satan because that we proclaim to do these things. And the reason why that they're saying that is because they have no power or they have no ability to actually affect change. They need to go to a psychologist to deal with your depression or give you some sort of medication or prescription to deal with your illness. But we have someone greater than any medication, greater than any psychologist. We have someone who has designed the very mental faculties itself, and his name is Jesus. He is the greatest physician, the master, the mediator. He is the King of Kings, and he's above and greater than any force or principality or any idea or philosophy that exists. The fact of the matter is that we need the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not enough, as I said before, just to preach a good sermon or just to tell someone about Jesus. We need to show them Jesus. We need to communicate them through sign language. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:20, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." It's not just in word, but it is in power. Power to change the circumstance. Power to affect change in people's lives. To transform them, to radically change them into the image of God. Now, people are always asking for a sign. Isaiah tells us this sign. In Isaiah 7, verse 11, it says, "Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in depth or in height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men. But will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." To communicate with the spiritually deaf, those who do not fully hear or understand the gospel, God used sign language in the person of Jesus Christ to show us his great love. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That Jesus Christ put his money where his mouth is. He didn't just say that I love you, but he left the grandeur and the splendor and the riches of heaven, became sinful man and bore our griefs and carried our sorrows and bore our sins, so that we do not have to. That for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. That God is here today wanting to show you that he loves you, wanting to show you that he can forgive you, wanting to show you that he can deliver you, that no addiction, no depravity, no issue, no subject is beyond the reach or the power or the extension of God. That God is almighty and above it all, and he wants to show you his power today. If you would just believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, you'll receive an experience of the power of God. Even if you don't believe me, at the end of this service, God is going to do some sign language in this place today to show you that he's real. That is the movie that we're going to watch in a little bit. God is not dead. God most certainly is alive, and he's alive in me and in us today. Let's go back to the scripture text, Luke 11:14. I want to make some points regarding this issue regarding sign language. Says, "And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out that the dumb spake." The word there, dumb, means that you can't speak. "And the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. Number one point I want to make here first, that the devil will make you dumb, preventing you from being able to speak life and to confess Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What do you mean by that? That the devil makes me dumb and unable to speak. What I'm saying is that the devil is condemning you, putting on condemnation, saying that there's no possible way that Jesus Christ could love you. Say that there's no possible way that he could forgive you. You've done too much, gone too far, seen too many things for God to have any relationship with you. Just shut your mouth and don't confess anything. Don't talk to Jesus. Don't praise him. Don't lift up your hands. Don't have any communication with him. That's a dumb spirit, and the Bible rebukes that in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior and that he alone is able to save you and redeem you and change your life, then you need to open your mouth and confess what is in your heart and rebuke the dumb spirit that's trying to prevent you from speaking the word of God. You've got to come against that condemnation that says that you're a failure, that says that there's no victory, that says that there is no hope. The devil is a lie. I believe, and therefore let my mouth be opened. The word of God says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that's within me. Everything that's within you needs to come out of your heart and come out of your mouth. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I rebuke the spirit of dumbness that's trying to prevent the people of God from confessing faith, and instead trying to keep them silent from speaking the word. The devil knows that if you start speaking the word, that he's in trouble. Because when God speaks, your situation has been resolved. God simply says, that just to say, let there be, and there will be, and there was. You just need to speak the word of God. But instead, he'll confront you with circumstances. He'll tempt you with sin and condemnation and guilt to make you be quiet. But you have to be even like blind Bartimaeus and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And even when others are trying to shut you up and prevent you from speaking, he cried the louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Do not let the condemnation of the enemy prevent you from confessing Christ. Don't let him lie to you and say that you cannot change. I want to encourage you today that it's not you that's doing the changing anyway. It's Jesus Christ that's changing you. It's Jesus Christ that's doing a miracle in you. It's Jesus Christ that's working in your life. You're not doing anything. It's all in him. And that's why people fall and they fail and they falter. It's because that they do not realize that it's not me holding on to God's unchanging hand. It's God's unchanging hand holding on to me, because in my own strength I would fail and fall, but through his strength I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Number two, man's sign language helps people to deal with their infirmity or their inability to speak by communicating another way. God's sign language gives people the power to overcome their impediment so that they can speak. What I mean is this, that if you're deaf and you can't speak, or you're dumb and you can't speak, you've got to use another way to communicate. God says, forget that. I'm going to move that out of the way, and I'm going to make you speak. I have the power to change your life. I'm not some sissified, weak God that cannot change your life. But if you believe in me, I will change you and your life for the good. Matthew 17, 20 says this, and Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. God isn't saying because the mountain is there, well, that means we got to take an airplane, or maybe we got to dig a trench, or maybe we should go to the left or go to the right. No, he's saying, I'm going to speak to your mountain and make it move out of the way. I'm going to change your situation. Not just give you the capacity to deal with it. I'm going to give you the power to change it. Because I am the God that healeth thee. Because I am the God that is almighty, that is omnipotent and able to change and transform your life today. The devil's saying that you're going to die, that you're going to fail. But the scripture says in Psalm 118, verse 17, that I shall not die, but live and declare. And declare, speak the words of God. We're talking about sign language here today. God is wanting to do some signs today. Point number three, people would rather give more credit to the devil than to God. People, they get up, as our pastor's always said, that he doesn't want to know a woe is me testimony. People spend about 5 minutes talking about all the things the devil's done unto them, and they say, oh, then pray my strength in the Lord. They don't give any credit to God. And then when God does something, then the other Christians and other denominations, they say, it's the devil that's doing it. Trying to deny the work of the Holy Spirit. Trying to say that speaking in tongues stuff is demonic. Or people getting healed, that was the devil that did that. That's the exact same argument the Pharisees used against Jesus. I want you to look at this. Look at Luke 11, verse 17. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because he say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. I want to take a little side journey right there, that a kingdom divided against itself is going to fall. We in the body of Christ need to come into unity. If we're attacking one another and speaking ill towards each other, that's still a dumb spirit or condemnation spirit that's trying to get the kingdom of God to fall. But I want to tell you today that today we're going to be united. We're going to walk in faith together, and we're going to pray for one another, not gossiping about each other, trying to say, oh, girlfriend, did you hear what so-and-so did? No, we're not going to do that. We need to pray for them in the name of Jesus. And those of you that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Yeah, y'all don't want to say anything about that, but that's just the truth. Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is the good to use of edifying, that it might minister grace into the ears. That if you got nothing good to say, don't say it, because the power of life and death is in the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You need to encourage your brother. Start speaking death and damnation. Start speaking life and love. Start speaking righteousness and goodness. Start speaking to your mouth and tell it to get out of the way. Quit begging God and saying, God, could you move this? God said, I've given you the power to move the mountain yourself. Just open your mouth and you declare it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Verse 19. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now I was reading this and I was kind of puzzled, because Jesus said that it was by the finger of God that devils cast out. Devils were cast out. Jesus said that he cast out devils or used sign language with the finger of God. People use sign language by using their hands. So what fingers did God use in order to cast out the devils? What is the finger of God? Turn with me to Matthew 12, verse 28. This is the Gospel of Matthew's account of this very same instance. Matthew 12, verse 28 says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Point number four, the finger of God is the Holy Ghost. Just as man's sign language is done through the fingers, all of God's sign language is communicated through his fingers, the Holy Ghost. That you cannot really live an effective and productive Christian life unless you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost in power. You'll never fully be able to communicate the gospel to those that are spiritually deaf unless you work through sign language, through the power and the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. If you do not have the Holy Ghost today, I'm coming after you. You walked in the wrong building, because you need to get the Holy Ghost. You need to receive the Holy Ghost. That's why people are falling away from the church, because they don't have the Holy Ghost. The hand of God, the finger of God, is not on their life completely. And because of that, they slip through the cracks and the crevices, and they don't fully experience the love of Jesus Christ. Now, here's another thing I want to tell you. This is where it gets good. The finger of God's purpose is to touch the works of the devil, that they might be destroyed, and to touch souls of the lost, so that they might be saved, healed, and delivered. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Remember that the finger of God is the Spirit of God. And it was through the Spirit of God that Jesus Christ destroyed all the works of the devil, and healed all those that were oppressed by the devil. If you want to experience true liberty, if you want to experience true healing, then you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to have the Holy Ghost.
You need to be seeking after or getting yourself in a position to receive it, because it's necessary. If you don't have it, then the enemy is going to exploit any vulnerabilities that's in your walk with God and tear you down. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary the devil roameth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The only thing that can overcome the enemy is the Holy Spirit. For it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You cannot fight against it in carnality. As Sister Brownie quoted earlier, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They need to be spiritual weapons to destroy and to disable the enemy. Amen. Let me kind of show you this about the finger of God. Turn with me to Exodus 8:16. Exodus 8, chapter 16, is the story of Moses and the children of Israel, how God was using Moses to deliver the children of Israel. And as God began to fight for Israel, he did many signs and wonders and many plagues he wrought in their midst. And this is what we see here in Exodus 8:16. Look at this. And the Lord said to Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring lice, but they could not. The devil tried to replicate something that only God could do and couldn't do it. So there was lice upon man and upon beast. Look at this in verse 19. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. He said, look, you're fighting against the hand of God, and we're losing. We can't win this. The Spirit of God, remember, you see the finger of God or the hand of God. We're talking really about the Spirit of God. It says in Exodus 9:11, and the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. So the thing is, we need to understand here that if we're going to fight and destroy the works of the enemy, we need to pray in the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to walk in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Otherwise, the enemy is going to defeat you. Otherwise, you'll be destroyed. Otherwise, you'll fall into false doctrine and heresy. You'll be deceived and brought to nothing, brought to nada. You need to get in the Holy Spirit. I cannot express or emphasize this any further than this, that you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Church, we got to be a spirit-filled, devil-rebuking, tongue-talking church that is not afraid to lay hands on the sick and command that devil in the name of Jesus. You're not going to afflict us anymore. We need to start speaking to this world with sign language. Praise God. Let me tell you about how powerful the finger of God is. 1 Samuel 5:6 says this. This is the story of the Ark of the Covenant. The Philistines had went to war with the children of Israel, and they had captured the Ark of the Covenant. They thought it was a trophy, and so they put it in their temple, the house of Dagon, thinking that, our God is greater than the God of the Israelites. But every time they walked into the house, Dagon was on his face, prostrate before the Ark of the Covenant. And they kept bringing Dagon back up, but Dagon kept falling back on his face, because it does not matter how big the problem is or how big the devil is. All of it must bow its knee to Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. What's in heaven and earth and under the earth is going to bow and confess Christ, because he alone is great. In 1 Samuel 5:6, the Bible says that God began to visit something on the Philistines. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any that came into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. But the hand of the Lord, the finger of God, the sign language that God was using, but the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emrods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw it, that it was so, they said, the ark of God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God. Do you understand how powerful the hand of God is, the finger of God, the Spirit of God? Man's hands, number 6, man's hands or man's sign language brings condemnation and death. But the finger of God brings forgiveness and mercy. When David had committed a great sin against God and numbered Israel, that death began to come upon the Israelites because of the great sin that he had done. And God began to deal with it with David and said that, I'll give you a choice what to do, you know. Are you going to allow yourself to be defeated by your enemies for 3 months? Are you going to allow a plague maybe to strike the land of Israel for 3 days? Or that, I forgot, there was a third condition that God gave. And this is what David said. Look what he says here. Look what he says here in 2 Samuel 24, verse 14. 2 Samuel 24, verse 14 says, "And David said to Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord. For his mercies are great. And let me not fall into the hand of man. Because man's hands are condemnation and death and damnation and hopeless. But the hand of the Lord, the finger of God, the Holy Spirit, brings mercy and grace and forgiveness for the sins that you may have committed, for the wrongs that you've done, for the things that you're lacking in. Quit trying to fall into the hands of a man to fix your problem. Quit dating these crazy psychotic brothers that are just going to abuse you and beat you up. Quit dating these crazy twisted sisters that are perverted and corrupted. Start falling into the hands, falling in love with Jesus, and let his hands embrace you and forgive you and heal you. Quit falling into the hand of man. Fall into the hand of mercy, Jesus Christ the righteous." Praise God, praise God. John 10, 29. I love this. I'm going to wrap this up. John 10, 29. It says, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." When you're trusting in Jesus, remember letting God hold on to you as opposed to you trying to hold on to God. When you're in the Father's hand, the enemy cannot harm you nor can he touch you. 1 John 5, 18 says, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God, keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not." Because you're in the palm of the hand of God. When you're walking in the Spirit, the enemy is unable to afflict you. The Bible said that he that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, under the auspices, under the protection of God. The Bible said in Isaiah 54, 17, that no weapon formed against thee would prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. For this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. That who are you, Satan, to lay charge against God's elect? Who are you to accuse God? I'm in the palm of God's hand. I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. That's how they defeated the accuser of the brethren. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Stay in Jesus. Walk in his Spirit. Stay in the palm of his hand, and the wicked one will touch you now. Praise God. If you want to receive the Holy Ghost and experience his sign language, then we need to give God a high five through faith. Praise God. We need to give God a high five. The Bible says, 1 Timothy 2:8, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." That when you lift up your hands and surrender to God, complete surrender, "God, I give you everything to him." You're giving him a high five. And when there's a high five, there's a connection. And when that connection has, God has you in the palm of his hand. And that's why what you're going to try to start doing, we offer the right hand of fellowship. Because we're talking about the hand of God, the finger of God, the Spirit of God that holds you in the palm of his hand. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and experience his sign language. Now here's why. And I'm going to close with these verses. I'm going to try and wrap this up. I want to tell you about how great the Holy Ghost is. The Holy Ghost is the best thing that there is. It will change and transform your life. And you need it today. If you don't have it, you need to get it. And today, I believe by faith, if you want it, you're going to get it today. Praise God. That's what we're here for. Ezekiel 36, 26 says, "A new heart also will I give, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and he shall keep my judgments and do them." That when the Holy Spirit fills your heart, it will cause you to walk in the fullness of God's statutes and commandments. That you won't have to fret and to worry necessarily, but you just keep praying in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will guide you. I want to also say, Titus 3:5, won't you see this? Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." If you want to be saved, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you some things about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is our comforter that lives with you forever. The Bible says in John 14:16, "And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. The Holy Spirit will never leave you. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That he is a friend that sticketh close to the brother. That in pain and in tribulation and strife, the Holy Spirit holds me in the palm of his hand. He wraps his arm around me and tells me it's going to be all right. Because it is going to be all right. He is the comforter. And the comforter has come. 1 Corinthians 6:16 says, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. When the Spirit of God comes, you become one with God. One with him. Just in the same sense that man and wife become one. You become one with God. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one spirit are we all baptized. That word baptized means to saturate. Means to fill every nook and cranny and crevice of your being. To which there is no longer any more you. There's just him. Praise God. For by one spirit are we all baptized in one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all made to drink into one spirit. The Holy Ghost is our teacher. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit will give you the boldness to testify of Christ. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He will open your dumb mouth that you might be able to speak, and sign language is going to fall. In Acts 1:8, the Bible says, but ye shall receive power or ability after the Holy Ghost is come unto you. He shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Holy Ghost is your guide. He's your GPS. He's your compass. In John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. This is why you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's why you need it today. That's why the service has been kind of moving the way it is. The Spirit is moving, reaching, searching, trying to find that person who will finally receive of his Spirit, believe and accept. Could resist and fight. You're like, I don't want to give this up. I don't want to let this thing go. And the devil's putting in your head all the things that you're going to have to give up and lose because of Christ. But you're forgetting what you're gaining. And what you're gaining is everlasting and eternal. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. That you're gaining eternal life, a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, a peace that passes all understanding, a grace that is sufficient, and a strength that is made perfect in your weakness. Your days are far away. Far away from what the enemy or the world has out in this world. You need the Holy Ghost today. Last scripture I'll say, and that's this.